Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Desmond was traded from Memphis to Orlando for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Cole Anthony, their backup point guard, and four future first-round picks, all of which are unprotected. And it's funny, like, and this is this. I hate starting things out that where it's like inside baseball.
Okay,
where like you feel like you're going beneath the surface on this. I'm not joking. My first thought was absolutely this is not good for the Cavs. My very next thought was. We're trading four unprotected first-round picks for Desmond Bane a year after the Knicks did this for Mikal Bridges.
So if it makes you feel any better about that side of things, I saw Windy today suggesting that two of those first-round picks was the idea that KCP and the cost that KCP was at like $25 million a year, two of those were really intended to for that contract, and then the rest was for Bane.
I just think we need a new Stepien rule.
Okay.
I mean, even with like some of these discussions, like... I mean, I don't know how much of this is true because we're in the silly season and people ramp this up. And there's a lot of great rumor mongers in the NBA, and I don't say that in a negative way. I wish we had more in baseball. I wish we had more creative people thinking of ways to Frankenstein more teams because it's fun. It is.
Mm-hmm.
But like I saw Michael Scotto of Hoops Hype was like, you know, the Rockets could pair Jalen Green and Tari Eason and four future firsts to get Kevin Durant. I'm like, what is this world? Like Kevin Durant's last two teams across the last 5 years have been unmitigated failures. He has not won a damn thing or gotten close to winning a damn thing since Golden State. And he's what, 36 now, 37?
I think it's his age 37 season. He still averaged like 27 a game last year.
No, he's still, by the way,
like he's still hooping.
He's still a really good, but this does like, Jalen Green, and again, not a perfect, you know, Anthony Edwards has gone one way. Jalen has not kept up with Anthony Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that Jalen still has, but what are we doing? We're trading a top 20, under 24 player and four future firsts for a guy who might be retired in a year or two.
Well, I think the NBA, and really, I don't think they're wrong on this, by the way. I think they're looking at a lot of these first-round picks and really a lot of any picks they have as how baseball, I've always thought baseball should look at them. Like, you have these picks, you should trade them at any term. But, like, outside of the lottery, how many of these guys actually come into being relevant and matter years down the line? Well, you get the occasional one here and there. But, look at last year's draft in particular. I mean, there's not enough talent in these drafts.
But, okay, but so this is like on a year by year basis. Like last year, that draft just stunk. But there, I mean, like this is a good like draft year. Next year is supposed to be an even better draft year. Like
you get the occasional spot where you're like, wow, Jokic really got drafted in a Taco Bell commercial. But for more times than not, the NBA they just don't look at the first round. Having a late first round pick anywhere in the 20s is something that's extremely valuable.
But I just look at we'll see what they do with Ja Morant or Jaren Jackson, or we'll see if this is like a we're going to pass the time move because we're paying too many people too much money. We'll see.
Oh, I would think this is them admitting that Ja's a two and they got to do something about that.
But I just continue to come back to the idea of like OKC stockpiling picks. That's not good for the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And four picks being traded for non-superstar players. How is this? It's so weird. Like what the NBA focuses on, because you've basically paralyzed more than half the NBA on spending anything above the first apron. All right. Now you're going to paralyze them in another way, which is we're going to trade four first round draft picks at a clip. Like How can, like, 2 years from now, there's going to be three teams that have all the first round picks and second round picks in the NBA. There's going to be three picks that might actually dabble into the second apron or beyond.
Well, think about it. The Thunder,
this is completely inequitable.
But the Thunder have a team in the NBA finals right now, and it's not as if they spent their bevy of picks as the reason why they got there. You know, it's an interesting way of looking at it, but I really do think the NBA they're just not prioritizing these draft picks in any sort of way. If you're outside the lottery, they just aren't hanging on to them as if they're anything of value.
Well, to a bigger degree, but it's like, how interesting is it? I got into this. I cannot remember who the reporter was because he's an older guy that's been around the NBA forever.
You argue with old men again?
Always. Almost exclusively. If I notice you're older than me, I'm like, I got to argue with this guy. We got to figure out who each other is. I got to test the strength here. Old man strength. Look it up. It's a real thing.
Is it better than country strength?
Nothing's better than Country Strong.
I think Country Strong is about as good as it gets.
I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow had a hell of a song in her hands there.
Jim Tomey, am I right?
But no, I just continue to come back to like, I wasn't arguing with an old man, but like he made this point of like, the somebody was looking for a tsunami type offer for this. And I was like, what the hell does that even mean? Like we've just run out of labels. To describe effectively, none of these deals are that smart.
Is tsunami type something that is there, like something that blows you away? Is that the idea?
It's better than whatever the old benchmark is that now I can't remember because now we got tsunami. And by the way, well, Godfather
offer is usually what happens, right? But if we're sticking in weather terms, like no one's ever like a tornado of an offer.
Exactly. We've gone right to tsunami. It's like there's not a lot more extreme type weather phenomenon.
That stuff's a blizzard of an offer.
Hey, we have a extinction level event asteroid. All right? I've watched Deep Impact. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Hurricane offer.
Hey, we've got the sun expanding to a red giant and engulfing the closer planets type offer. Like, what are we doing? Listen. At no point, and I think Desmond Bane is a perfect fit in Orlando.
It's a great fit.
And
it was the right type of move that they should make, by the way. And by the way, I would take that move over someone like Durant. If you're giving me someone that's a 26-year-old that has an outside shot and plays great defense, what's wrong with acquiring a guy like that?
Yeah, and honestly, he would have been one of the guys I would have traded Darius for straight up or close to straight up for.
I mean, Orlando can't shoot, Nick.
But I continue to come back to it. It's like, something needs to be done here because the cap is already way too problematic to try and negotiate. So that's going to stifle player movement. And then all of a sudden, a third of the teams are going to own all the draft picks. Mm-hmm. Like, let's be real. The NBA has to be really honest with itself about what drives interest in the product. And it's not the damn regular season games. It is player movement. Player movement is people what drives the interest. It's the one thing that, I mean, the NBA has no business being a 8 month out of league year. Like it has no business being that, but because of player movement and explosive tsunami type trades for basketball players, it does. And now the league's going to be gridlocked in 2 to 3 years at this rate. And then now they're going to say, well, we can just ease the restrictions on the CBA. Yeah. And then a third of the league is still going to own 100% of the picks, which is another thing that fans are into. So I watched the trade go down, and I was instantly like, I mean, we created the Stepien rule to stop stupid owners from doing stupid things. We need like an addendum. Like, okay, now you can only trade the max first rounders you can trade is 2 first rounders now. Like that to me, and by the way, back-to-back years, you should not be able to trade a 2031 first rounder. That's just stupid.
Which is the first one the Cavs have that they can trade now.
Like, if the Cleveland Browns tomorrow traded their 2031 first rounder, we'd all stay up nights for the next 6 years waiting to figure out how that thing became the number one pick. It's not, none of this makes sense. And it just keeps going along. And people bitch about, the logo's not on the court for the finals. It's like, are you watching what's happening with NBA player movement?
This is awful for the NBA.
The
problem is that you bring up, like, the NFL, for instance. Any team in the first round feels like they can draft a player that can actually start for them.
Memphis can literally draft anywhere and find good players.
You should have starter-level ability drafting in the first round of the NFL. Like, when the Browns traded for Deshaun Watson and that whole deal, it was like, there's six total picks, but there's three first-rounders. Those three first-rounders all have an opportunity to actually impact the game, where the NBA just doesn't work that way.
Well, no, but what kills me about it is, like, Wells, the kid in Memphis this last year, that was, a late first-round pick. And I'm not trying to go all the way back to 20 years ago, because you're making a recency point here, but, like, Gilbert Arenas, first or second pick of the second round. Bogdanović, I think second pick of the...
You can find examples everywhere.
Well, but I think my point is, like...
It's definitely not the norm. And, like, anything outside of the lottery just isn't treated like it's a bunch of gold, essentially.
No. I don't think it... I think they all have bust rates because it's the draft and it's an exact science. But I just continue to come back to, if you can't trade players because the price is too high or nobody can afford them, and only like three teams, one of which is already a ready-made NBA championship caliber team potentially this year in OKC, controls most of the draft assets going forward in the next 7 years. Like, somebody needs to explain to me how, just big picture wise, this is any good for the NBA. Because honestly, when I saw that, my first thought was, this is stupid. This at some point, it's like monopoly money. Like, we're just making you know what up as we go here. But I do want to get back to my first thought. Not good for the Cavs.
No, Orlando got much better.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. And
Which is why they're thinking about it this way, though. They're like, we can give up the first round picks. It is what it is, because we'll be drafting 25th and later on every single year now that those exist.
This ultimately is the thing that I think Orlando has recognized before Kobe Altman has recognized it, which is they paid those four first round picks and two role players for a player that might not be Kevin Durant or LeBron in his prime, or he might not be Anthony Edwards. But what he does is he fits perfectly with what they want to do.
Exactly.
And that's the thing.
Well, they got the guys that they already want to pay big money to. They paid Wagner. They're going to pay Paolo. That's coming down. I mean, that's any day now. Like, they got the money tied up to the place that they need to have it tied up to. And Bain just fits that offense and fits what that defense needs perfectly.
And I think, like, this is going to be the struggle of, I think you can get approximate value for Darius, but you're not going to get fit for Darius. Trying to thread this needle on this offseason of, I'm going to get approximate value for Darius or Jarrett, for that matter, or if something happened with Donovan. I'm just saying, any of those three players, while also making sure the pieces fit together. Oh, and we all got to stay under this salary cap. It's a bit of a fool's errand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at some point, I think, like, okay, do you want to say we have more upper echelon players, more elite level caliber players, or do we have a team that fits together? Like, guys,
I mean, that's been the talking poll of this entire stretch that we've had, the setup that they currently have.
And here's the thing. I don't think Desmond Bain.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch, because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series, as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit, as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Makes this Orlando team better if everybody's at 100% strength. I don't think they're better than Boston. I don't think they're better than New York, but they're in the conversation.
Well, and they got some of the same things that we got built into. Like, ours is Evan Mobley's growth and development. Theirs is Ben Caro's growth and development.
And the difference is, with this, Yeah, you do. You slide down the leaderboard one extra spot, and it's not about the regular season, even though I think they're going to be a better team in the regular season with Desmond. It's not just about that. It's they're also a team that might be leapfrogging you in the postseason, and I think that's what scares me most.
Yeah, Orlando got much better, but that's why no one's killing him for the trade necessarily, because it was like the type of move on the surface of it, you're like, you paid what? And it's got a little bit of a sticker shock. But then when you think about it, it's like, yeah, it makes sense for everybody. It makes sense for Orlando, at least. And that's why they did it. Like, it's a good move.
216-474-009. Oh, no, it's an objectively stupid move if put through just common sense. But in the wacky, stupid, inflated world of the NBA, it's a great move.
Well, I mean, just looking at it, right? Again, like, I mean, the picks part of it doesn't matter to them in the slightest bit. They got off of KCP's money, so now they can spend money in a couple other areas, and they have their version, and I don't listen, Suggs is not part of that, but they have their version of their big three, like, that they're going to try to win with and win big with. Like, it's an exciting time to be an Orlando fan and recognize that your front office just didn't sit back and say, okay.
With the Desmond Bane move for the Orlando Magic, are the Cavs in danger of being lost in the East? I don't think it's hyperbole to ask that question, by the way. And as we have the next part of this conversation, there's faith. There is getting better, and then there's actively doing something about getting better. Which one are the Cavs going to be? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I do think we're at a point where, and I don't know I don't want to try and speak for all Cavs fans. I'll speak for myself.
Okay.
If this is a truly crazy offseason, and the second that the Desmond Bane trade happened, you saw people go, hey, see, it's going to be a crazy offseason. That's the first salvo. And KD's next. This guy's next. If this finally does fulfill the prophecy that Shams has put out there, that it's going to be an insane, fun, player movement-driven offseason, and the best thing the Cavs do is trade Isaac Okoro or Dean Wade, it's going to feel a bit like a letdown.
Well, it's going to feel like a letdown. It's also going to feel like, wow, Kobe Altman really does love this team, doesn't he?
It'll feel like a cop-out from Kobe. I don't know, because here's the thing. I think we're to a point where, and I don't know Kobe, so I don't want to try and make it like I can just say this. I do feel like we might be at a point of paralysis by overanalysis, where they're like the fear of the move you make going wrong,
mm-hmm.
or the fear of, oh, I need five, where basically you talk yourself into insurmountable stakes to make a trade mm-hmm. that might make you better because the pieces fit together. I really worry that might be where we are with Kobe, because I think he understands if he makes the wrong move, trading Darius, new guy comes in, doesn't fit. Darius is great elsewhere. That team goes deep into the playoffs. I think he does know that gets you fired if you're an NBA GM.
Yeah, but I also don't know. I'd love to know his approach, but I'd be curious to know if he's watching these NBA finals and thinking to himself, wow, this is really because of Halliburton and Siakam, or is it more about Mathurin and the other guys? Is it more about the guys that are, like, if you traded an Okoro, if you traded a Dean Wade? There's a part of me that thinks if you trade Okoro and Dean Wade, he could be like, yeah, we did enough here. We've made the moves. We got better in that, and the parts that the other teams across the NBA are getting better at, and our core four, we're good with our core four. It's the other parts that we needed to clean up.
So the only thing, I'm about to do something that I hate to do.
Okay, well, you're going to do it, so you don't hate that much to do.
And you and I both roll our eyes when we give a guest two options, and they go, I think it's both. And occasionally I've said, that's not how the bit works.
You're right.
Not,
I hate when you do this. If you're going to do this to me now.
I have to, because this, I feel like of anybody, I get to do this because I never do this. This is like a hall pass for douche moves in sports talk radio. I'm pulling out the hall pass.
Yeah, no Peterlin pass. We give out Peterlin passes for a lot of things, not for this.
Wait. So you give out Peterlin passes willy-nilly. Like, you got a white van and trying to entice some kid into the back of a van.
No, they're reserved for once a week.
You
get it once a week.
I feel like you're more than a once a week Peterlin pass kind of guy.
Once a week. Some weeks, not even once a week.
I feel like if you can't give your partner a Peterlin pass, I don't know what we're doing here.
Say it with your chest already, will you?
I'm going to say it with conviction.
Say it with your chest.
It's both. The reason why it's not just Halliburton or Siakam or Mathurin and the other goons is because they fit together. Like, I, honestly, I really think, like, guys, if you plucked it, to me, it's like the golden, to me, it's like the Boston effect for the Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder teams. Avery Bradley, throw out all the names that none of you remember anymore, because why would we? None of them were great players. But you watched, they were 8, 9, 10 deep. They drafted ridiculously well, finding guys like Terry Rozier, pick 16. They found a lot of really good, useful role players.
I mean, and that is the theme right now of this Pacers team.
But all those guys fit together, and anyone that didn't fit in got the hell out.
See, but the difference here is that if you're trying to use what the Pacers are doing within that, does it work because Halliburton is as selfless as he is, and Halliburton is a facilitator in a way that, let's just be honest, I like Donovan, but Donovan's not a facilitator the same way that Halliburton is.
Can it be both? I won't do it again.
Again?
I won't do it again.
Again?
But no, I do think, like, it's a fair point, and I think it does get into the question of, are we talking about trading the wrong guy with Darius and Donovan? Which, again, I don't think you have to trade Donovan. I'm just saying, you better be having those conversations before you move off one of those guys, right? You have to have every conversation before you consider trading any one of the core four. I just continue to come back to, like, we've seen it. You've tried to out-talent everyone. It hasn't worked.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you just have to have a roster that fits together, that plays. And listen, the truth is, you're not going to build one roster to beat every team in the NBA in the playoffs. That's not how this is going to go.
And that's hard, too, because you should never build it just to be one team or whatever. But I don't even know what would be the one team you target right now.
It'll be whoever wins the finals. I think it probably should be OKC because they have an insane amount. Like, SGA at points has been the smallest guy on the court. And SGA is like 6'5", 6'6". He's also at points been like the second biggest guy in the court because they just have a really eclectic range of length, shooting, defense, and just overall size. So I think that, but even then, like, you can't, if you're trying to beat just to beat OKC, they've got a war chest and you've got a couple pieces you can tinker with. So I think the goal should be you're trying to beat the widest swath of teams, meaning that when we go to the playoffs, all right, these two teams are bad matchups for you. The rest of the playoffs, you're either more talented or you just fit together and you're a better team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your path is, wow, we're just going to out-talent them. Well, talent doesn't mean diddly squat without fit. And I think that's what the Cavs, if this offseason goes gangbusters the way we think it can, and then you traded the eighth guy off the bench.
The fit problems is the point.
Well, yeah, guys, I'll be honest with you. It's not about the postseason, won't admit. I hate when people say that. No, we'll still watch the postseason. It'll be great. But I won't have any expectations for you.
Yeah.
Thank you. So the regular season, I'll still enjoy it. They're going to be a good basketball team. Like, we're not talking about, all right, you make a trade. It's either going to be a championship team or you're going to be in the lottery next year. No. I have reason to believe that whatever trades you can make from here gets you even incrementally better, and that'll make a fun regular season. But there's no way anyone under the sun should think this team, if they keep the core four together, and oh, by the way, DeAndre is going to be a little bit better too because now it's year two. There's no way to expect this team to do anything other than they've done, whether it's the first round, second round, third round, being bounced out in the fifth round.
And maybe that is why, like, you asked the question of whether or not we're getting lost. I was listening to a national program earlier today, and they were naming some of the East teams that Orlando's now competing with. We didn't get mentioned. Cavs weren't brought up at all.
Yeah.
Like, we are getting lost in that conversation.
And by the way, you should be. Your playoffs have ended. And we need to keep saying this so it doesn't get revisionist. Teams do a great job of whitewashing what happened. The Cavs are doing a great job. Every piece I read about the Cavs, hey, they're focusing on, look at the success we've had. It's like, no. Where we're at, you have to look at the failure you've had and ask yourself, is there an underlying issue?
Well, they're also putting a lot on the idea that Atkinson can be the one to develop these guys to get to another spot. I can't tell you how many articles I've read where it's like Atkinson was off in Paris. He was doing all the Olympic stuff, and so he wasn't around. But this year, it's going to be different because he's going to be around. He's going to be able to coach all these guys. Okay.
And here's the crazy thing. Kenny Atkinson is one of the there are certain coaches in the NBA who know how to develop talent. Mike Malone was one.
It's supposed to be one of his strengths. Like, that's supposed to be it. We kind of got robbed of it last year in many ways.
My guy James Borrego is a guy who I believed, I saw like his player development thing up close. I thought it was Kenny Atkinson's that dude. Kenny Atkinson can take Jared Allen, who was, I think, the 20th or 21st pick, and turn him into a $200 million player in his career. He took Karras, a middle-round pick, turned him into a really good player. Spencer Dinwiddie was just a jump-around journeyman. Really good player, got paid once. Like, Kenny can do that. I'm open to trading, by the way. If you get a top 10 pick as part of a package for either Jared or Darius, I'm open to it because I believe in Kenny Atkinson. He also can't turn water into wine.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be something of, I trust the coach, I trust player development, I trust that these guys can get incrementally better. And at some point you start thinking and like wishing and dreaming of unicorns and Sasquatches and things that just don't work. Things that just aren't real. I felt good. I felt like a good little mic drop there. Got there together.
Very good.
Yeah. 216-47 We should do this radio thing full time.
Proud of you.
Yeah. Us.
Us.
Yeah. Yeah. We did it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a real bonding moment there.
Yeah. We're nope. 216.
Oh, come on.
Where usually Mac only has bonding moments by himself.
Hey yo.
216-474-0092 He's talking downtown. It's still too soon, but we're getting closer with every Guardians loss. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.